It's now 27 minutes after the hour. It is a Transcendent Tuesday here along the Broken Road. We're joined by Dr. Don Clark. Don is a resident of Garden Valley, Texas. That's just a stone's throw from Dallas. Well, it's several stones throws from Dallas. If you can throw really well.
Yeah. About an hour and a half to 2 hours from Dallas.
Well, it's about 80 miles, yeah. And he's a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, lots of experience in pharmaceuticals, which is particularly pertinent, which is hard for me to say today, because we're talking about a guy by the name of Vladimir Zelenko. Now, Don, you brought us to his attention. How did you discover this Dr. Zelenko?
Oh, I've known about him almost since the start of COVID, because I think he was first mentioned in Mercola as having basically a home, kind of a home therapy for his COVID patients, and he was having fantastic success with it, and he's just continued to develop his method, but it included hydroxychloroquine, and he was the actual person, I believe, that actual doctor who talked to President Trump and mentioned that hydroxychloroquine was useful in the treatment of COVID.
That makes sense. Let me read a little bit. I found a website that gives some background on Dr. Well, it's Zev Vladimir Zelenko. He's a medical doctor, a New York State doctor, who's treated over 1,400 coronavirus patients using hydroxychloroquine, also as azithromycin, and zinc sulfate, 99.9% success rate. Only had two deaths among all of his patients. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his research into treatments for COVID. That was in 2021, this year. He's a nominee now. I don't know when they award those. But this will be interesting, because this man is going against the grain, isn't he?
Oh, he's been against the grain from the very beginning, yeah. He's up in New York, I believe New York City, and he was helping his patients when other patients were dying, and he was saying, "Hey, look, there's a simple treatment here. It's very inexpensive. All you need to do is, you know, treat these patients." So, and he had hydroxychloroquine. He had zinc. He recognized that hydroxychloroquine was able to get zinc into your cells, and that's what is actually needed. I mean, if you just take zinc sulfate or zinc, you know, other zinc chelate type of, products, it may or may not get into your cell, but hydroxychloroquine, and there are other compounds that do this as well, will actually get the zinc inside the cell where it's needed to prevent the replication of the virus.
Well, he's published two protocols. One is a treatment protocol, if you have it. The other is a prophylaxis protocol, in case you don't want to get it. It will ostensibly fend off COVID-19. And let's take a look at the prophylaxis protocol here first. And he does a very good explanation. He says basically zinc is the main weapon against COVID. True?
Yes. Basically, it is, because it, like I said, if you get it into your cell, that's the key. If you get it into your cells, then its function in the cells is to prevent the virus from replicating. So it affects the enzymes that the virus basically takes over the cellular mechanism, and this prevents the virus from doing that. Once its messenger RNA gets inside your cell, it wants to take over the protein synthesis process within your cells to produce obviously more viruses. But zinc helps to prevent that.
Well, the doctor divides his patients into low-risk and high-risk categories. Let me just read the description of each to you here so you can fit yourself into one or the other. He says, young, healthy people do not need prophylaxis against COVID-19. In young and healthy people, this infection causes mild, cold-like symptoms. It is advantageous for these patients to be exposed to COVID-19, build up their antibodies, and have their immune system clear the virus. This will facilitate the development of herd immunity and help prevent future COVID-19 pandemics. However, if these patients desire prophylaxis against COVID-19, then they should take the protocol that he notes below. And then he defines high-risk patients as being over the age of 45, or if they're younger than 45, but they have comorbidities, that is, they have other health conditions that put them at risk. These patients have between a 5 to 10% mortality rate if they're infected with COVID-19. Now, I don't know how that compares with, say, the flu. Maybe you can give us some clues on that in just a second here. These patients should be strongly encouraged to take prophylaxis against COVID-19, that is, preventative measures, in accordance with the protocol noted below. And then he breaks this down. And in you and I have talked about this on the air a couple of times, that this alone puts up a good defense against COVID, and that's boosting your own immune system. You're probably looking at that. I'll let you cover that. What do you take in terms of vitamins?
Oh, well, I mean, the top vitamin is zinc. Now, I don't have it up on my computer at the moment.
Okay, so, well, that's right. You've got your phone. I'll read it.
Is in for repair, unfortunately.
Yeah, so. I'll read it to you, because elemental zinc, 25 milligrams one time a day. Vitamin 3, that's 5,000 international units, or IUs, one time a day. Vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams one time a day. Or there's something called quercetin, which or at 500 milligrams one time a day. I don't know what that is, until a safe and efficacious vaccine becomes available. And they're working on that now. That is not one where you need renewing it every couple of months, but one that, you know, once and done kind of thing. If quercetin is unavailable, then use, I can't say that, epigallocetacin gallate, 400 milligrams one time a day. That's for low and moderate risk patients. Now, for high risk, that is, if you have comorbidities, the conditions that may make you more susceptible to disease or make it harder to fight off COVID, elemental zinc, again, 25 milligrams once a day. Vitamin D3, again, 5,000 international units one time a day. And this is where it's different. Hydroxychloroquine, 200 milligrams one time a day for 5 days. Then one time a week until a safe and efficacious vaccine becomes available. Now, I'm reading this to you. You don't have to write it down. I'm going to put a link to this page in the chat window at Broken Road Radio so you can read what Dr.
Zelenko
is recommending to you. I'll do that in just a minute. There's a lot of hard words in here, Don.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, he's actually come up with what he calls the Z-Pack, which includes a lot of that, and if you actually get COVID, he also recommends azithromycin, which is an antibiotic to go along with all of that. And depending on how severe your condition, other folks are recommending a common steroid like prednisolone or other types of things. So it depends on, you know, how severe a case you have. But the other thing that I want to add to, you know, he did say vitamin D. You said vitamin 3, but it's actually D3. Vitamin D.
Yeah.
D3 is extremely important to your immune system. And it is so important to the immune system, for example, patients who are low in vitamin D are not only more susceptible to infections, but they're more susceptible to cancer. So it has been shown that if you get your vitamin D blood levels up to in the range of 40 to 60 nanograms per mil, for example, then you have a much lower rate of not only infections, but also of cancer.
How do you obtain hydroxychloroquine?
Well, you can either get a doctor to prescribe it to you, or you can go to another site. Americans, let me see if I can pull up.
Because I'm concerned that if you go to a doctor in a hospital, it may be against policy, yeah, and he won't do it. Yeah.
Right, right. There are, and I'm, I wish I had my computer because I have all this data in my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I will. I'll find it in a minute. But
well, you can even text it to me, and I'll get that into the chat window as well. It just gripes me that policy would trump medical knowledge in this respect.
Well, I don't understand and then the that. Other yeah, the other thing is ivermectin. Of course, you know, ivermectin's been pretty much banned in Canada. It's been banned, almost pretty much banned in the United States, but you can still get these things. These are available. You may have to go to India, or there's actually a Canadian company, mm-hmm. pharmaceutical company, has these things available where, depending on the state you live in, you can actually order it directly from them.
Now, I think ivermectin's been approved for seniors, only seniors, though, and in an advanced case of COVID, which might be too late.
Well, yes, and all of these things you need to take early. You know, mm-hmm. You're starting to feel sick, you're starting to have flu-like symptoms. You need to start on the, you know, depending on how healthy you are, you may need to start on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, for example. Ivermectin does act similarly to hydroxychloroquine, but it has some added advantages in that outside the cell, for example, it helps to prevent the virus from sticking to your cells, from binding to your cells. So it has... it has that added benefit, so it tends to be a little bit more efficient at keeping the viral count down.
And this is not new knowledge. This is not recently discovered. This has been known for decades, correct?
It has been, and it has been used as an antiviral, before. Now, it is ivermectin's approved as an antiparasitic. And for the treatment of parasites, and it's almost given continuously in certain countries for people who are, there's parasites all around. And so it's been, ivermectin, the safety profile of ivermectin is just the same.
Well, there's been some confusion, though, over ivermectin for animals, like horses, for parasite problems, being confused with human ivermectin. In other words, a different dosage, a different means, probably.
No, actually, the dosage is exactly the same.
Same as for a horse, huh?
They really? Give the same exact dose, per kilogram of animal. It's basically 0.3 milligrams per kilogram.
Hmm.
That's the exact same human dose that you would use if you were infected, for example, in ivermectin. And in India, they've used as low as 0.2 milligrams on up to 0.6 milligrams per kilogram,
mm-hmm.
and which turns out to be, for an average person, 20 milligrams to 30 milligrams if you're 200-plus pounds.
Okay, so in proportion, it's the same dosage, is what you're saying.
It's the same dosage, the same compound. Now, the formulation is different, so that's where you run into issues, but it's exactly the same compound. It's not a different compound that's in the animal, formulation. It's a different formulation, but it's the exact same compound. So the media is trying to say, "Oh, you're stupid for taking, the horse medicine, or the cow or the swine or whatever, medication, because that's for horses. It's for animals. It's not for humans. But it's been used. It was first approved in humans. It has." One, the person who discovered it or used it as a you know, as any parasitic, won a Nobel Prize for it. So it is in humans, not in animals. So it's been used in humans before it was used in animals. So it is not an animal drug. It is used in it is useful in animals as well, but was first used in humans and has been around a very, very long time, like hydroxychloroquine has been around for a very, very long time. And obviously, not obviously, but it's been hydroxychloroquine is the drug of choice for lupus, for example, the blood disease lupus. And so you have these drugs that have been around for a very long time. They have been used in you know, probably millions, if not a billion people, you know, on the earth, and have an extremely safe profile. So, you know, I wouldn't have any qualms whatsoever in taking either of those drugs or both of the drugs, depending on what you find a physician that, you know, will prescribe either or both. That's, you know, the folks shouldn't get the misrepresentation as the media, being as corrupt as they are these days and are only parroting what our corrupt government and medical system is pushing. For example, we haven't even begun to talk about remdesivir, which Fauci has approved for the use in COVID. They will not approve the use of ivermectin. However, the NIH has ivermectin as an approved drug to do clinical trials with for specifically COVID. And if you look at the adverse events, not adverse events, but if you look at the side effects, for example, of remdesivir and its carrier system or its formulation, and you compare that with ivermectin, I will take ivermectin any day over remdesivir. And one of the major side effects of remdesivir, for example, is kidney failure. And guess what happens if you have kidney failure while you're taking remdesivir in the hospital, because that's what they will give you if you go to the hospital with COVID, is remdesivir. What you will get is kidney failure, and kidney failure causes fluid to back up in the lungs, which causes less. So you go in, you're not breathing, you're low on oxygen to begin with. They give you remdesivir and your kidneys shut down, and now you get fluid backing up in your lungs, and they say, oh, you died of COVID. Secondary pneumonia. You had COVID, but you died of secondary pneumonia. That is not accurate. That is not the case.
Why would they do that? Why would they do that?
Because the hospitals are just following the protocol, and they're not treating patients, and they're not looking at, because if you look at an X-ray, for example, or of a patient who actually has pneumonia, it looks far different than the X-ray of these people who have gotten remdesivir. You can actually see the fluid building up in the lungs. So people who have had, who are on remdesivir and they're having breathing problems, of course they get put on the ventilator and everything else to help with the breathing problems. But, you know, what they need to do is stop remdesivir, get diuretics. The patient needs to actually have diuretics to clear the lung, and then they can breathe, and then they don't need the respirator anymore. But you know, our medical system is not doing that, because the approved drug is remdesivir. Also, the hospitals, if they give remdesivir, they're given 20% to a bonus of 20% for giving remdesivir.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
it's about the money. A lot of it's about the money.
Very evil stuff that's going on. And we have drugs, cheap drugs that are available, antiviral, that, you know, can be useful in the treatment of antiviral, treatment of viruses. By the way, these protocols, you know, the Zelensko is one of the individuals. There are now multiple medical professionals, doctors, for example, that have gotten together and come up with multiple protocols now to treat people, not only for COVID, but this is general antiviral type of stuff that you can do. I mean, we're coming into the flu season. You need to get your vitamin D levels up. You need to start taking vitamin C if you're not taking it. You know, your vitamin D levels, like I said, need to be in the 40 to 60 nanogram per mil level. And the only way that you know that you're in that range is to get your blood vitamin D levels measured.
Mm-hmm. And that's a simple matter, too. That is easy to do, to go in and get a blood
test. Easy to do.
You can see all your vitamin levels in that. I want to mention the treatment protocol that Dr. Zelenko has, too. And again, he stratifies the patients into low and high risk. Low-risk patient, younger than 45, no comorbidities, and clinically stable. High-risk patient, older than 45, younger than 45 with comorbidities, or clinically unstable. Here's a low-risk patient treatment. Again, familiar thing. Zinc, 50 milligrams. That's the double dose, one time a day. Vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams, one time a day for 7 days. Vitamin D3, again, 5,000 international units, one time a day for 7 days. Optional over-the-counter options, quercetin.
Quercetin.
Thank you. Quercetin.
It's a natural. It's a natural compound. It comes from green plants.
Okay. 500 milligrams.
It's one of the sources.
And then another one.
What specifically does that do in the protocol? That was one of my questions.
Yes. It acts a lot. It actually is an ionophore, which means it helps to get zinc into your cells as well.
Mm.
But if you can't take hydroxychloroquine, or if you can't. If it's not available to you, then get quercetin. Quercetin's available at your health food stores. You can order it online. You can probably get it in the grocery stores, but you want to be taking at least 500 milligrams of quercetin in order to get the beneficial effects of it.
And then there's epigallocatechin. Gallate.
Yeah, that acts like quercetin as well.
Okay, EGCG, it's called, 400 milligrams. Again, it's zinc, it's vitamin C, it's D3. If you're a moderate to high-risk patient, they double the dose of D3 to 10,000 international units. Azithromycin at 500 milligrams, doxycycline, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin now creeps into the picture. Either or both, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin can be used, and if one only, then the second agent may be added after about 2 days of treatment. So this is detailed, and I'll put a link to this particular protocol, the treatment protocol, in the chat window at BrokenRoadRadio.com, and of course there'll be links in the podcast up on Broken Road Radio after we process the conversation today and get it up. Sharon, yeah, you have some more questions?
I was going to say, one of the things that this just really says to me is, number one, you need a good physician, and if you can access a functional medicine physician who will treat, you know, underlying stuff rather than and work to prevent rather than just throwing drugs at it afterwards, but also to build your immune system. I've got some autoimmune things, and so for a decade I've been doing D3 and fish oil and vitamin C and zinc, and I'm over 45. I'm over 65, and because I do have a couple of health issues, you know, I don't know what those comorbidities are, but I have carried on my life in general. I have a doctor who checks my D3 levels as well as other issues regularly. And if you just work to boost your immune system now, not just for the the virus issues, but just to build your immune system in general, your health is going to be better, and you're going to avoid a lot of these things. And if you've got a good compounding pharmacist, someone who actually understands what's in these various things, for instance, my zinc, I take a zinc zyclinate, which is, it says it's a biglycinate chelate, and that it's supposed to also help the absorption factors. But if your body's not absorbing this stuff, if your immune system's not good, you can basically be flushing your money down the toilet by not taking care of your health in the first place, so that you can get that supplement into your system. Am I correct on that, or am I out in left field? Or,
well, yeah, you need to be taking a supplement that is bioavailable. So there are various, like you had mentioned, there are various chelates of zinc, for example, that help get the zinc into, help first to get it absorbed, whether it's citrate, oxalate or whatever, there are various formulations of zinc that have better bioavailability. That is, if you take 30 milligrams of zinc, a day, the important part isn't necessarily the 30 milligrams, it's how much zinc is being absorbed by the blood system, mm-hmm. By the intestinal system, that matters. And so it's more, a question of bioavailability as opposed to the type of zinc that you take.
Now, can a blood test reveal your zinc level as well?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can measure. You can have all that measured.
And zinc is the warrior against COVID, apparently. That's what does the trick, but you got to get it in the cells, therefore these other the D3 and the C and the hydroxychloroquine and so forth. Links to both protocols from Dr. Zelenko are in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. That's both the prophylaxis, that is the preventative protocol, and the treatment protocol. And again, those links will be in the podcast once we get that up and running here in a day or two. So, Don, we learned a lot today, and there's a lot mm-hmm. more to cover. But we're grateful for this information. And can you quickly rank COVID in terms of its threat? With flu, or with say measles, smallpox, other viruses, is it the same? Is it really as great as it's been sold to us?
Purported to be? No, it's not. The danger is not as great as it's purported to be. Yes, people have died, but again, it's interesting that the death numbers, let's say per 100,000. In the United States is much higher than the rest of the world.
Because we haven't been treating people for it.
Well, because one, we haven't been treating people, but two, we're killing them in the hospitals, with these other procedures, or lack of procedures, if you will. Mm-hmm. And two, we've been, identifying, anybody that happens to have COVID and they die of something else, like a heart attack, they still label as dying of COVID. And so you have all of these things going on in our system. But the important, what was your question again?
Well, just ranking the various disease. But the point is, we're killing people off, and this borders on criminal. And
yes,
maybe more than borders, it is.
It is criminal, and so. COVID is like a very bad flu season, as far as the real numbers of people that are dying from it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dr. Don Clark, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, I want to recommend their website to you as well. It's creationmoments.com, and it has to do with the scientific information that supports the biblical story of creation. You'll find a lot worth seeing at creationmoments.com, and also we'll get more on Dr. Zelenko to you in the chat window and in the podcast. So, Don, thanks very much. Appreciate it. We'll see you again in a week or so. Okay?
All right. Sounds good. Hopefully I'll have my computer back by then.
Yeah, I hope so. Bye-bye.
Okay, so long.
Bye.